Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Jimmy encouraged me.
Yes.
You know, just a man of God, we're so thrilled to see you back, and we knew you would be, because our God is faithful. Amen. You know, I just feel bad that the picnic had to be canceled today and everything, and Amy says, Dad, we're going to have a picnic, and you're just going to have to shorten your sermon. Something close to that. So when I thought we were going to have a picnic, I took a minute's worth off. So I had to tack it back on this morning. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you're here in this room. Sunday after Sunday, Father, you're here, whether we feel good, whether we don't feel good, whether we're fearful, whether we're in doubt, whatever it is, Lord, you promised that you would be here where two or three are gathered in your name. And you're such an awesome God. That's even a weak word to describe who you really are, Father. But we love you. We praise you. We glorify you, and we thank you for your faithfulness from morning to morning, from year to year, week to week, month to month, every moment, Father, you're faithful. From everlasting to everlasting, Father, your mercies are new every single morning, Father. And we know you've got a plan for every life. And so, Father, I commit this day to you, Father. I commit this message to you this morning, Father, that you would again inspired into our hearts, Father. And Lord, those that need to hear, Lord, let them receive it with love from your word, Father. I'm not the Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father. I can't convict, I can't change lives, nor do I want to. That's your responsibility, Lord. You said it was. You're the one that changes hearts and lives, but it's our choice to want to listen. And so, Father, I pray as the word goes forward this morning, Lord, even if no matter what the attitude is, as I put it forth, Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost will do the work and bring Holy Ghost conviction into our lives, Father, and speak to our hearts, Father, for we're leaky vessels and we need to be reminded. And sometimes it's not fun, Father, but we have to preach the truth of your word. Yes. And we thank you and we praise you this morning, Lord, as we gather together as the body of Christ, your family, your children. In Jesus' name, and everybody said?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. I was looking on the internet. You can put that up there. I was looking on the internet this week, and it's really a sad situation. This is from Barna Research study. I won't read the whole thing, but it's really interesting. There is a declining depth of commitment among born-again Christians to their faith over the last 20 years, according to a State of the Church study by the Barna Research Group released this week. Did you hear that? There's a decline. There's a decline. It says Barna concluded his analysis of the born-again Christian segment of the study by saying that such a spiritual condition reflects the pursuit of cheap grace, described by theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Barna said that the condition fits America all too snugly today. And I'll just read a portion of this. When asked about the overall trend of complacency that the study reveals, a gentleman by the name of Korchenor commented, perhaps what we've done in making church a really cool place, this excellence in all we do kind of thinking, is that we've allowed the people in the pews to evolve into a coasting mode. Conacher, who was also works for a company specializing in church building designs, said he often sees churches putting a lot of effort into making sure they have the latest technology. The question I have to ask is, are we putting too much emphasis on the whiz-bang at the expense of the real meat of the church life? After everything is said and done, it will always come down to walk. And that walk must be with a few close friends who are doing real life with each other, holding one another accountable. Jesus modeled it with the 12 disciples, he said, and then he goes on. And then I found another one, U.S., the Christian Post. Their headline says, survey reveals increase in number of worldly Christians. Increase See, if we're going to have revival, God's going to have to do it. But the Bible says in the last days, the world's going to wax worse and worse. And this survey shows right here, by doing a study out of 1,500 people, they quizzed, that Christians are just getting more and more worldly. I wonder why. I wonder why. Is the word not being preached anymore? Are we getting away from the Bible? Are we more concerned about making people feel comfortable? Well, I might say some things on my message here today might not make us comfortable. And that's not easy to do, but I'm going to do it because I believe God called me to preach the word and not to tickle people's ears. I can't afford to. You know? I felt if I still, my attitude is not an arrogant one. It's not a mean one. But if I stand here by myself, I did what God called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Because, you know, this is a scary situation, brothers and sisters. I'm concerned about your souls. I'm concerned about people's souls that I witnessed to during the week. God called you and I to live the life and to be salt and light in a dark world. And I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters' souls and those who do not take their Christian walk seriously and they just live their life any way they wanted, the same as always before. And that isn't why we got born again. That's why the title of my sermon is, Who is Born Again? Who is Born Again? We have to question that in our own lives, too, as we know the Word of God, especially if we come to church for years and years and we say we're Christians and we live the life. We have to ask ourselves, am I really born again? And that's good to do, isn't it? It's good to judge yourself to make sure you're right with Jesus, because eternity is for all eternity. There's no coming back. Grandpa and grandma aren't going to pray for grandchildren to come back once they're gone. Once grandpa and grandma are in heaven, they may be praying for grandkids, but if grandkids go before grandpa and grandma, there's no bringing them back. There's nothing. We can't do it. I can't pray for my loved ones who didn't know Jesus that are now dead. I can't pray them back anymore to say, do you want to accept Jesus now and be born again? I can't do that. But, you know, I have a chance right now while the ones that are alive, in how I live my life and how I conduct my life and how it impacts them. And they may not like it. My brothers don't like to be around me as much as they do each other's, because they drink booze and have all the fun and parties like I used to do. But they don't want to be around me anymore. But, you know, when I got born again, I said, Jesus, I'm willing to count the cost and not have that fellowship of my brothers anymore. Because Jesus is more important and eternity is more important than whether I let my brothers like me or not. And you know something? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Sometimes you sit and say, well, you know, it'd be nice if we just get together and like we used to and just have a great old time and do whatever. But I can't do it. I can't do it. My one twin brother one time offered me down at Applebee's in Eden Prairie. We were sitting down there, and I got in there, and he's a Jehovah's Witness, and he's really bugged by me because I've changed and he hasn't. And he said to me, he calls me Lenny, and he says, say, you know something? I heard about this new non-alcoholic booze, this beer. He said, you could drink that. See how the devil wants you to kind of slide in? And I said to my twin brother, I said, Larry, I can't. He says, why not? There's no alcohol in it. I says, because maybe somebody around here in this place that I've witnessed to, or they know me, and they're going to think I'm drinking a real one. I won't drink it, because souls are more important. And then he shut his mouth and he didn't know what to say. Because, see, being a Jehovah's Witness hasn't changed him all. It just made him become legalistic. That's all he is. But he still lives, he still talks the way as he did as I know him when he and I were doing the same thing. Nothing changed him. But see, he sees something different in me and it bugs him. And I pray for him every day. I pray for my younger brother every day that the Jesus will get a hold of their hearts, their wives, their daughters, and bring them into the kingdom of God. And is that going to take me? Is God going to use me? I don't know, but I know that my life is being an impact and they're bugged year after year that I'm still living for Jesus. And that's worth it to me, because I want to see my brothers and their families in heaven someday. And I will not be part of their life right now as they live worldly lives in that sense. I still get together with them and visit, but they're careful how they talk and what they do, and that bugs them. And that's okay with me, because I'm the head, not the tail. But you know, if I appease them and I become like them, what good am I? What difference did Jesus do in my life? But you know something, Jesus, my wife can attest to this, that Jesus did change my language, didn't he? I mean, I'm no better than anybody else. I was a foul talker. And Jesus changed me. And that, you know something? When we're singing that song today about Jesus, I still love Jesus. I remember when he got a hold of my heart in that car, and I knew that love had to be Jesus. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I meant it right at that point. And with his help, I haven't been perfect. Nobody is. But I tell you, with God's help, I want to live to glorify Jesus every moment of my life. Who's born again? Who's born again? You don't hear that in churches anymore because they don't want to offend anybody with that word being born again. They don't want to say it. You won't hear it. You won't see it in their literature. You won't see it in most of the Bibles that are preached from the pulpits today. You won't see the word born again. But you know, I'm going to preach it. You know why? Because Jesus did. Yes. Jesus did. A pastor, David Stewart, said walk with God is the title of his sermon. I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs real quick here. Let's stop sitting on the premise and start standing on the promises of our Savior. Churches all across America need to hang up signs each and every day of the year proclaiming that abortion is murder, homosexuality is sin, God loves people, etc., etc. But to be frank, most of the work of God is not done by churches, it's done by individual Christians. A church congregation rarely rises above the spirituality of its pastor. I would be ashamed to be a pastor in any community and fail to make some people mad. Why? Because the truth makes some people mad, and a godly Christian will make someone mad sooner or later. Probably sooner. I've had fun making many people mad. I really have. That wasn't written here. I just said that. You know, when they get mad, I know the Holy Ghost is convicting. That's why I get excited. I'm not because I like to be mean. I've had people take my Bible out of my hand, throw it on the floor like that right in front of me because they were so mad. And they said, don't ever preach that to me again. I said, I'm going to. Got saved. You know why? I knew the Holy Spirit was working on them as soon as they got mad because that's the way I used to be. I don't like it when they agree with you. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Those people are really hard to reach. I like the guy or the gal who really gets mad at you. Those, you know, the Holy Ghost is after them. This is exactly why Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace, but rather a sword. Matthew 10:34, Luke 12:53. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The truth divides. I've known many people whose families rejected them as an outcast for becoming a born-again Christian. And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? I'll say that again. Because you want to be part of the family, but all of a sudden you're not because you're born again. If you're truly born again, your family's going to know it. To enter the kingdom of heaven, I must be born again. Heaven is not a place of natural bodies. It's a place of glorified bodies, brothers and sisters. You can't live in heaven in a natural body. It's going to be glorified. The requirements for citizenship in heaven is by birth, a spiritual birth. Nicodemus was a man who came to Jesus one night and wanted to be a citizen of heaven. Jesus began to give him the requirements of heaven. See, Nicodemus was many of you know, he was a religious leader. He should have known this already. He was a religious leader, but he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what must I do to enter heaven? And he came to Jesus. John 3, Verses 3 and 7 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not, verse 7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus said that. It's his words. It came out of his being. The creator of the universe said, ye must be born again. He didn't write in there, he says, you must be a fully dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. But you can go to most websites and churches today, the emergent churches, and that's the headline they got because they don't want to mention you must be born again. But Jesus said you must be born again. Nicodemus could not understand this. Why wasn't his natural birth good in heaven? Why did he have to have another natural birth? Amy, put the young lady up here again. The real good-looking one here. A couple weeks ago, you see that? A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were in Sam's Club over here in Maple Grove, and I walk in, you know, when you check out, you got the guy there, they act like they're looking over all your groceries when they only probably see one there, and they line through. Well, he had a fancy cross on, so I said to the guy walking out, I says, wow, that's really a nice-looking cross you got there, and he said, yeah, it is, and I said to him, I said, did you know that Jesus Christ hung on that cross for your sin and my sin? And he didn't know what to say to me. He shut his mouth and looked away from me. I knew where he was instantly. See, that becomes jewelry after a while. That's all it is. It has no meaning whatsoever. And Christians even hang it on their necks when they should be witnessing about that cross that's on their neck or on their lapel or wherever you put it. But see, the world has gotten so used to this weak church that there is today that they hold them just like that out in the open, thinks nothing of it. But I tell you what, confront them sometimes and ask them what that cross means. That's a great witness to do it, isn't it? What a great door opener. Hey, I see you get a cross on there. Are you born again? I've done that one time, and a guy says, well, what do you mean born again? Well, right there, I knew he wasn't born again. So I had an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And that's why we have to be aware. And see, that image right there, is somebody think, is this lady a Christian? You know, I'm not the Holy Ghost. I prayed that in my prayer. I'm not the Holy Ghost. I'm not the one who wants to put anybody under legalism. If you smoke or drink, that's not my responsibility. The Holy Spirit's responsibility is to convict the heart and soul if you're not where you belong with Jesus. But sometimes when you look at a picture like that and you see that, I know Christians identical to that, and I'm thinking, would that lady have an answer for me right now if I was a drug addict? Or an alcoholic? If that was a Christian person, would I want to go to her? Why? Why? It's obvious, isn't it? I'm not condemning. She's not real. Don't get me wrong. I'm not fantasizing here. She's not real. But you know something? I don't condemn people like that or judge them either. But I'm just saying, I want us to come as a body here to realize that Jesus is coming back to earth real soon. We have a responsibility not only for the world around us, but for the people in our own homes and how we live and conduct our life as Christians. I love Jesus so much. He did so much for me. Why do I have to get upset? Why do I have to be like the world when he gave everything up for me? Jesus was not talking about another natural birth, but a spiritual birth. He was talking about being born from above, born of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it all started in the garden with Adam and Eve. You know, from the day they sinned, Jesus says, the Lord says, from the day you eat of that tree, you're surely going to die, didn't he? Didn't he say that? Now, when they ate from that tree, did they die physically at that moment, the scripture teaches? Did they die right there, physically? No, they died spiritually. They're dead spiritually inside. That spirit no longer is within them. And we all are born like that, dead. We're dead men and women walking around until we get born again. We're separated from God. We will not go to heaven as unsaved people. Not unchurched. I didn't say unchurched. I said unsaved people. And we have to realize that God, that Jesus said, ye must be born again. And to bring that spirit back to life within the human being, we got to be born again. Jesus has to come back into our life. See, this is a requirement and passport to heaven. Our natural birth will not get us there. Our earthly citizenship will not get us there. We must be born again of the water, the Word, and the Spirit. We cannot join God's kingdom. We cannot buy our way into God's kingdom. We cannot force our way into God's kingdom. We cannot work our way into God's kingdom by good works. We can't do it. I've talked to some Christians where they say, well, I hope I've been good enough and I've done this and I've done that, so God's pleased with me. I don't find that in Scripture. The Bible says faith pleases God. It's Jesus' righteousness. You know what pleases God? You know what really pleases Him? When we say, Lord, thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for His righteous, pure, shed blood. Because the Bible tells us that we're filthy rags. We're stench. Every good thing that we do is filth, stench before God, our own personal righteousness. It stinks. Why? Because it couldn't save a bug. But see, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, His blood, His being, He's pure and He's righteous, and only He could come before the Father with our sins and get them washed away in that precious blood that was pure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sinful flesh is not allowed in the kingdom of God. We must have our sins covered by the blood of Christ. We must be a new child in Jesus Christ. We must be born again to walk the streets of gold. We must be born again to see the walls of jasper. We must be born again to see the rivers of life. We must be born again to have a mansion. We must be born again to have a crown of life. We must be born again to see the angels of glory. We must be born again to live with Jesus Christ. We must be born again to live forever in eternity. Born again means to be begotten from above. It literally means there must be a transformation from God, for God, and a renewal in righteousness and a true holiness to be saved. That's what happens when you get born again. John 3, verses 5 and 6 says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, the difference in the flesh and the Spirit is the flesh lusts for the things of the world and follows after Satan. The Spirit obeys the voice of God and desires the things of God. You know, once I got born again, I started really desiring the things of God. I didn't before. But when Jesus saved me and I repented and I came to Him, all of a sudden it's just like, whoa! You know? I remember my wife and I, we got brand new born again. We'd open the Bible and say, what? Wow, is that a, huh? What? It was new and fresh, and it still is. It was a living word that was changing our lives, and we start saying, oh, man, I want to be like Jesus. Oh, what? It's true. Man, it was exciting. We used to grab our pastor by the nape of the neck and go to eat with him because we wanted to get everything we could out of him about the questions that we were developing in our hearts as we were reading the Word. And and that was the type of pastor who wanted to do it, didn't he? He was, brothers and sisters, he was excited about Jesus. He didn't go with the rich guys in the church to go play golf on Sundays. You know where he went? He went, I want to go with these people, these poor people over here, because they asked me about Jesus. That's the ones he went with. If you are born again, you should have been transformed to a new life, losing old desires. And I'm not saying that happens like sometimes it could, but it's a gradual thing as you fall in love with Jesus and you move spiritually with Him. It's a progress that takes place, and your life is being changed every day of your life as you seek to be like Jesus, separating ourselves from worldliness to a spiritual walk with God. We break away from the old habits, the old worldly ways that can destroy us and destroy others, and we start to move into the things and say, God, what do you say in your word? What do you want me to live? How do you want me to live? You seek the Lord as you're born again, and He begins to speak in your spirit. Because, see, when you become born again, the Spirit of God now dwells within you, and the Holy Ghost starts speaking through you and guides you every day. That's why we pray and seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. Listen to Paul said to the church of Galatia. they went back away from grace into the law. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you hear that? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led, did you hear that? It says, but if ye be led, not driven. It says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I like that. I love that. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such as the like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And when you start telling your friends and family which you've been born again, those types of people that you used to be part of start falling away from you once you share the gospel with them. Your family will start to fall away from you, even if they're good religious people. I mean, that happens too. Probably the most gracious, wonderful people there are in their way they live, but they're not born again, and they don't understand it, and they don't want anything to do with you because they think you went into a cult because you got born again. But I like this. Now, this is what happens as you walk with the Lord progressively forward and you seek the Lord's will. It says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we begin to walk in those things, there's no law, no condemnation of the law or anything, because we're in the Lord. We're walking in the Spirit, the spiritual things of the law. The Galatian people went back under the law, under bondage, away from those things. Paul was telling them to get back where you belong. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things, what we were before salvation, they're gone. Boom, they're gone. You know, I've worked for Towsley Ford for 16 years. I've never been invited to go to one of their parties. Never. You know why? Because the first thing I did when I started there, I shared the gospel with the owners and the managers of the company. Oh, they received it very well. They supported me, too. They've even paid me when I've gone to Russia a couple times because they like what I was doing. But you want to know something? I never get to go to meetings with them or when they go out and do their thing. They never invited me. You know why? Because they go out and drink and do the thing, and I understand that. But I say, Lord, thank you very much that my life has an impact on their life. Because I've had many of them come and ask questions. One of them is born-again Christian today, and then he went home and led his wife to the Lord, and he's working on his daughters right now, and the guy's excited about Jesus. It isn't because of me or who I am. It's because I represent the one who saved me, and I become born again, and I stand for what I believe, and I told him I'm not going to compromise. I told this right there that I told the owner or the manager, the general manager, I told her, I said, I will not become like a typical dealership salesperson. I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I will not compromise that with anyone here. And nobody's forced me, but I'm rejected. But it doesn't bother me. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Brand new. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The scripture does say, if any man be in Christ, that is saying, if you are truly born again, there will be a noticeable change in your lifestyle. Your family should see a difference in you. Your friends, the people you work with, the people you can be, go walk among strangers many times, and somebody may walk up and say, there's something different about you. I've had that happen several times. I've had people walk up and say, there's something different about you, just your mannerisms. What is it? And I said, would you like to know? Right? To be a Christian means we take on the likeness of Christ, that we do not let sin reign in our bodies. Romans 6, 12, 17 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, born again, raised in newness of life. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For if ye are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. I love living under grace. Praise the Lord. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. The grace of God gives us the liberty to live a holy life. Did you know that? It gives us that liberty. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, when you live for Jesus and obey his word according to his word as a born-again Christian, you are bringing life into yourself, eternal life, and you'll live that way throughout all eternity with joy, peace, and happiness. Amen? Because I see so many of my brothers and sisters that are living worldly lives, and they're not happy people. They think they are. The devil deceives us. We think we got to do this, we can be part of this. But you know something? They're unhappy people. You know why? Because there's a little voice within them. That's the Holy Spirit, I believe, that convicts and says to them, you ought not be doing this. You ought to be glorifying me, the one who saved you from an eternal hell. That's why there's no joy in the church today. Oh, there's rocketing and yahoo! Look at us! But there's no inward joy. There's no inward peace. It's because we're too busy wanting to look like the world so we can fit in. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit in. Why did they hate Jesus so bad? Because he kept telling them the truth. And they didn't want the truth. If you obey the word of God, then you are born again. If you don't obey the word of God, then you are still a sinner. And that's just simply the truth. If you're living in right out rebellion and sin to God, then you're not born again. You can't live in sin and say you're born again. I come across people like that once in a while when I've witnessed to them. And, oh, I'm a Christian. I said, are you a born-again Christian? What do you mean born again? And then I have to describe that. Then I know instantly, I clarify them where they're not. And you can even do that in a church sometimes. I said to a guy that, I won't say his name, some of you know him in here, but I asked him, I said, are you a born-again Christian? He says, well, I'm a Christian. And he goes to an evangelical church. Isn't that amazing? If a person claims to be born again and their spirit and attitude hasn't changed, if their desires are not toward glorifying God, chances are they are not born again. Chances are. And I don't judge that. I let God do, but I question it. Tell them by their fruits. Matthew 18:3 says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, meaning born again, and become as little children, that means total dependence on Jesus and the cross, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear that? We have to be converted, born again. Converted means change of direction, a new walk with God, to change something into another form, substance, state, or product, transform, to change something from one use, a function, or purpose to another, adapt to a new or different purpose. It means to be different. If you claim to be converted to Christianity and you haven't changed, you have been deceived. You've been deceived. And brothers and sisters, there's multitudes sitting in churches that once preached the gospel today, and multitudes are coming in, sinners, because they come in and they feel comfortable and entertained, but they'll never receive the word, as all they see is become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say that. He said, ye must be born again. Because I read in there where multitudes followed Jesus and they turned away and no longer followed him. They were dedicated followers for a time. And then they turned away from God. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Yeah, we're followers of Jesus Christ. I don't doubt that, because Jesus asked us to follow him. But that's not what the Bible says for leading people to Christ. Many people are going to think on Judgment Day, they're going to be deceived and they're going to know it instantly. Jesus said, ye must be born again. That needs to be preached from the pulpits across America, that ye must be born again. That's the message that Jesus sent out. Repent. Repent. If Jesus said it, man, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to preach. I don't care if you throw those oranges and apples at me. Apples would hurt, wouldn't they? Well, I suppose oranges would too. I'll change that to tomatoes. How many are still here with me?
Amen.
Huh? Praise the Lord. That's three quarters of you. Praise the Lord. Luke 22, 31 and 34, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter. Satan wants you, and he's going to sift you, Peter. Do you think Peter was a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ at that time? Huh? Do you? Up to that point in his life? I do. He saw miracles. He saw a lot of things. He was a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan desires to have each and every one of you in here. And some of you have been sifted and are being sifted and will be sifted again. He never quits. He's relentless. Verse 32 says, but I have prayed for thee. Boy, I love it when Jesus prays for us, huh? That thy faith fail not. But notice his next statement. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's what he said to Peter. When thou art converted. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Right after Jesus said, be converted. The kind of pride and boastfulness was the cause of Peter's downfall. And we need to take heed of that. We do. I'm nothing spiritually. I'm no spiritual giant. I need Jesus. Every day I wake up, I got to walk under the blood of Jesus, and I got to make willful choices, to make good choices or bad choices in my home, in my job, in my life, in this church, wherever I go. I have to make the decisions what Jesus wants me to do. That's being born again, because Jesus lives in me. I could make a choice to do the worldly things, but I choose not to do that because Jesus changed me. That's passed away from me. That's gone. That's gone. There are a lot of people that say the same thing, but their faithfulness to God on earth proves different. That's within the church. And I got rights to pick on the church. I'm part of the church. There's a lot of people won't come to church on Sundays because other things are more important many times. And I'm not saying any of that's bad, because I don't come to church on Sundays sometimes. But I said, when you make a habit of it, what's more priority in your life, your fellowship? Did you know that when you and I come together on Sunday mornings like this, brothers and sisters, we're in fellowship to worship the God of the universe, the one who saved us. That's what happens when we come. That's why it's so vitally important when we come together and not stay away. I know when I go away from church for 2-3 weeks, when we do a vacation or whatever, if I'm gone, you know, when you come back, don't you feel kind of different sometimes? You can already feel it. The world's taking a toll on you somewhat. That's why you need to come into fellowship with the body of believers. That way, when you're in trouble, when you have issues, when you have situations, healings or whatever, you can call upon the body. We come together and we storm heaven for your benefit. Amen? Amen. That's why I love the body of Christ. That's why Jesus told us to love one another. Jesus said, if you don't love Lynn Diekman, you don't have the love of the Father in you. And you can put your names all in there too, if I don't love you. If we don't love the brethren, we don't have the love of the Father in us. We got to question if we're born again. I said it. God didn't, brothers and sisters. Believe me. I got to preach the truth to you. I got to tell you the truth. Verse 34 from Luke 22 says, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou know me. You see, Peter made the confession that he was willing to die if necessary to prove his devotion to Jesus. Peter spoke one thing but did something totally different, totally differently from what he said he would do. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, meaning born again, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you're converted and you're born again, your sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus for all eternity. But you got to do it daily. As a born-again Christian, when we sin, we ask that blood cleanses us and we ask for forgiveness. It's a daily walk with the Lord. It's an ongoing process as we're born again and we're living out our Christian life, because we sin daily almost, even in a thought. Even in a thought. And we need to put that under that precious blood. Some people just say, oh, once it's done, you speak the blood, you get saved, that's all, you don't even have to do it. No, I believe strongly that you have to apply the blood, because Revelation says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. It's easy to say I'm saved, but proving with a changed lifestyle is altogether different. One thing I don't do anymore is if you see a bumper sticker on a car that says, honk if you love Jesus. I don't do that anymore. We did that in Sioux Falls one time. The car had a big sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. So I drove up by my honk. I drove up there and the guy looked at me and like he was going to cuss me out. I thought, what? What do you get that on your bumper for? You're supposed to honk back. You know something? You can say, boy, you're being judgmental, Brother Lynn. You're being critical. No, I'm not. You want to know something? If I can do that, if I can see, get an image of a brother or sister in Christ and they're not where they belong with the Lord, why isn't the lost people and other Christians looking at Christian people are not living where they belong? Huh? If that impacts me, it's going to impact many other people. And I was a brand new Christian then. Proverbs 7, verses 2 and 3 says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You see, when we are living by God's grace and we are not bound by the law, are we? We're not. We're not bound by it. When you're living under grace, you don't have to worry about the law. But we still need the law. But that does not mean we can now sin and break the laws of God. Proverbs 8, 32 and 36 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. People, we hear instruction but not follow through. We don't follow through. That's why it's dangerous to go into a church that is deceived. This one pastor I read about, he's talking about that in a full-size article about the church today and how dangerous it is. And he said the most safe place today many times is in the thousands of small churches that are starting throughout the country. That's what he said. And I agree with him. It's dangerous because many people are caught up in the hype of the technology and the building, and they won't leave a church because of the building and the technology. And how big it is. Look at the big church we go to. And lose their soul for all eternity. Is that okay I preach the truth to you, brothers and sisters? Is it okay?
Amen.
Because you know something? I thank God for you because I believe you're here because you want to hear the truth.
Yes.
And maybe we're not where we belong totally, and we just need the Lord to help us to get there, don't we?
Yeah.
That's why I need you and you need me. If we sin against the Bible, which is disobeying or ignoring its instructions, we have sinned against our souls. John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. It means you will not see spiritual or eternal death. John 14:15-16 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said in John 14:24, he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's scary, man. That's scary. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And you may get sick and tired of me bringing up the emergent church, but that's a scary movement. They're getting many people involved in community and doing community things, which I'm all for, to do nice things in community too, but you're not allowed to preach the gospel. You're not supposed to witness. You're just supposed to be a good old Christian from church and church to impact people and say, what a wonderful church that is down the street. No. People are going to hell, and when God calls me out to do something good for somebody, I tell them, I've helped a guy fix his battery one time in Mankato up on a hill. He had his hood up, and I drove over and said, you got some problems, guy? And he said, yeah, my battery is dead. And I said, you want me to help you? And he said, sure. And I said, you want to know why I'm helping you? He says, why? I said, you want to know? And he said, yeah. I said, because Jesus wants me to help you. Jesus is the one allowed me to come over and help you, and I witnessed to the guy. And he listened. That's what we're to do. That's what the gospel is. It's not being good, because then we start thinking that we go to heaven because look at we all together doing such wonderful things. I saw a pastor's comment on a website, and I won't say his name or where he's from, but he says, oh, I'm so proud of all you people for all the good works you're doing. You know something? Jesus is why we go to heaven. We only do good works because we love Jesus, but we do them in his name only. When you give a cup of cold water, you give it in the name of Jesus. You don't give it so that people know that you go to church such and such. That's why you should come to this church, because look at here. There's a cold drink, man. You're hot, aren't you? That's why you do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In verse 23 says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, it's so easy to be deceived, isn't it? We're so easily deceived, and it comes in so subtly, and it feels so good, and it sounds so good, and it's so wonderful, all the wonderful Christian religious things we're doing. But you know something? I'm born again. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you die in your sins, you'll go to hell. They may get mad at me, and some do and some don't, but I tell you what, that's what God's called us to do. If you and I start doing that, then we will start living maybe more holy lives too, because we'll be in touch with the Holy Spirit as he guides us to go out and share the gospel. Many Christians don't want to witness today about the things of Jesus because they aren't living where they belong. And that's the truth. They're ashamed, and they don't want people to know they're a Christian, and they don't go out and tell anybody because they don't want anybody to know that they're doing the very same things the person they should be witnessing to. So they won't witness. I'm no better than those Christians either. I'm no better than them. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I choose to do what God did when he changed me, when he made me a born-again Christian, because of what he did on Calvary's cross. Revelation 1:8 says, and I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Which part of the scripture is not part of your life? We got to ask ourselves that. Which part? If Jesus is not the first, then he cannot be the last. That's serious thinking, isn't it? There's a lot of people that claim the name of Jesus, but he's not first in their life in the way they act, the way they live, the way they think, the way they talk, the way they do. But they think that at the end, that's when Jesus is going to be there. And we really got to come back and say, is he really the first? I believe what he is saying to the world and to the church is there cannot be anything in between you and me. Nothing. I am first and I am the last, for I am nothing, or I am nothing to you, God is saying. What God do you have that comes before your service to the Lord? What keeps you from prayer? What keeps you from the word of the Lord? What is more important to you than the house of worship? You can't say nothing is more important to me than God and then not obey him. You can't do it. Oh, God's important to me as they're living a worldly life. You can't say that. When it's time to come to worship God, what keeps you from doing just that? You may say, well, the message doesn't stir me to worship. Well, it's the Holy Ghost that is supposed to stir you to worship. That is true if you are led of the Spirit of God. Amen? Yeah. See, it's the Spirit of God. The plain fact, the Word of God commands us to worship God because he seeks such as to worship him in spirit and truth. Jeremiah 7, 2 and 3 says, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. See, he is saying, repent. He said, amend your... God is saying this, amend your ways. You know something, brothers and sisters, I tell you what, I don't like playing church at all. It's sickening. But you know what's exciting? I'm thinking, if I get my life the way it needs to be and you get your life the way it needs to be, and I don't say I know where yours is at or anything, but I tell you, if we live as born-again Christians the way God saved us, like he did the new church, the New Testament church in Acts, do you imagine what kind of church services we would? Do you imagine what type of life you would have outside the church walls? Do you imagine walking down the street and having Holy Ghost boldness and saying, hey, ma'am, do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going when you die? And the power of God comes on you and you begin. That's how it happened in the New Testament church. They began to weep and to cry, and people got saved by the thousands because the church was on fire. It was right with Jesus. These were truly born-again Christians. That's where we need to be. That's what our life is. And you say, well, church is boring to me. Well, it wouldn't be if we were where we belonged. Amen? Amen? I tell you what, I get sick and tired of all the big screen stuff and all the toys and all the fun. I tell you what, I'd rather see some dead person come to life. That'd really excite me.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that you? I'm going to go down and morgue, pull one in here. And, you know, we're going to pray God get him up off the floor. I tell you what, people be streaming off this hallway down here, be running in here. Go out and tell somebody, hey, there's a dead person that came to life in our room. Come on in and see. I was just kidding. No. No. I just thought if they were sitting in a chair around the corner and I couldn't see or something. Wouldn't that be so? Anyway. Well, hey, dead people. Spiritually, that would have been awesome. I'd love that if, you know, God had sent them in. I really would. Reverently, I would love that. When you begin to make excuses to not come and worship, you're falling victim to the deceit of the devil. You're falling into the hands of the enemy, and he will mock you in the presence of God, and he will. He loves doing that. He loves doing that. If God said to Satan, have you considered my servant? And then we could actually put our name in there. Job, could you have said what Job said in Job 13, 15, and 16? He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. And Brother Jim, I thought about you when I put the scripture down. I really did. I thank you for your faithfulness to God. And even Lydia, knowing how the enemy has blasted your life and tried to bring you guys down, and you're strong for Jesus today. I'm not lifting you up because you're just a piece of dirt and mud like I am, but you know something? You're inspiration to us because I see how you are following through in your faith and your walk with Jesus and how God has been faithful to bring you through the storms of life, and he's going to take you all the way to the end. Yes. Amen? That slaying can be a sickness or anything else in your life. And I can sit there and look at my brother Jim, and I still see your face, the when I walked up there and your big white smiley teeth. I'm not kidding you, man. That inspired me. I said, Lord, I want, help me to be like Brother Jim. You know, so we got too many Christians want to backslide as soon as something hits them. You know, and our God's a good God. You're struggling in your side and your guts are aching and you're ready to spill out. You're so depressed you can't even look up. You know, you need to begin to weep and to begin to praise and to thank this God who is faithful. Amen? Verse 16 says, He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. If you lost everything you had, as Job did, could you tell your family and friends what Job told his wife? Job 2, 7 and 10 says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes and said to his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Satan is merciless. She said, curse God and die. This will test whether we love God or not. This is the real proof of being born again when these things come against us, brothers. Isn't it? It's the real test to see, are you truly born again? I hate it when I see a brother or sister, when they fall into serious things, and the first thing they want to do is jump ship and go. Now, I say to myself, were they truly in love with Jesus? Did they truly make a commitment? Because this God is so faithful. He's so awesome. He's so loving and he's so kind. And when we stay in his will in the middle of the storm is when his reality comes into our life, into our spirits, and that born again takes on reality. That's what happens. Verse 10, but he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And here is where many people are today. When it's good, I can worship. When it's good, I can give and be obedient to God. But if God allows something to happen on my job, or to my kids, or my finances, my health are all gone, then God must be unjust. That's the first thing we want to say. But he isn't. He's still the same God. That's the enemy that speaks into our minds and into our lives. This is the warfare up here. After all I've done, why would God allow this to happen? People unjustly accuse God of their failures, and this is not being born again. They run right back into the hands of the devil that caused the problem, and they walk out on God and blame him for all their misfortunes. When you are born again, you'll not falsely accuse God for the things that happen to you. When you are truly born again, you won't make excuses why you can't be obedient to God. When you are born again, you will be willing and faithful to do the things of God. Truth? Yes. It is truth. Yes. When problems come and your finances aren't what you would like for them to be, you won't stop giving. Matter of fact, you will increase your giving like some of you have done in here. When your family or you are sick, you will do what the Bible says to do. Amen? James 5, 12 and 16, my last scriptures finishing off here. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Isn't that a glorious word? Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's all stand, please. See, when we are truly born again, our attitude changes toward God and his word. We start to live a different way. We become concerned about what our Lord is concerned about, the loss of the world. We repent by putting our total trust and dependence in our Lord Jesus and his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins and having the Holy Ghost living in and through us and being led of the Spirit of God moment by moment. That's truly being born again. Who is born again? If you are in here, and see, we know pretty much everybody in here, but you know something? I also know that there's times when we just need to say, Lord, I just need to get back on track. Amen? Because we're leaky vessels, and life has a way to bring us down with the pressures and things like that, and sometimes we just need the support of the body. And when I make these calls to come forward or whatever, it's not to bring pressure on you, to point you out or anything. It's so God, in His mercy, can do a work in your life and help you through it. That's what we come together for, not to judge and condemn, or because we're all like everybody else. We're all sinners in this place. There's nobody. I don't care if the top person in this country walked in here. He's no better than I am. Billy Graham is no better than I am. Billy Graham's no better than any of you here. God just chose him to be a leader in this nation. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. I pray that right now, Father, the Holy Spirit will convict hearts and lives, including my own. Is there anybody in here? Don't look around. Just keep your heads bowed in reverence to the Lord and for respect to others too. And is there anybody in here that would just say, I haven't been living quite the way I need to, and I need the help of the Holy. There's even been sin in my life, and I need to repent of it. Put your hand up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be honest with the Holy Ghost, because you're gonna confess it one day, whether you want to or not. And right now is a great time to get rid of it. Amen? Judgment Day isn't going to be fun. I see the hands, and I thank you. And is there anybody in here, and you say to yourself, I've never been born again. I don't believe I'm born again, and I want to get born again before Jesus comes back. Raise your hand up if you're in here, just to make sure. I'm just going to wait 30 seconds more. If you say, well, I thought I was, but I'm not so sure now. Put your hand way up. Put it way up so God can just reach down and begin to move upon your heart and life. And if you say that right now, I want you just to move out again. And you know something, the reason I have you come out, they don't do that in churches much anymore, but the reason I'm going to have people come out when I ask for repentance or when I ask people to come and surrender their life to Christ. And if you've done it before, don't be ashamed. Come forth, and maybe you just need teaching sometimes too. But I tell you what, Jesus called everybody out. Because he said, if you're ashamed of me before the world, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. That's why never be ashamed to commit your life to Jesus. And I want you to come forward. Anybody wants to come forward right now, we're just going to pray a prayer of salvation to be born again. You come forward right now in Jesus' name. I'm not going to force you, because I'm going to close. If you know for sure you're born again, that's good. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you right now, and I praise you for the Holy Spirit. And I know you're doing a work in the hearts and the lives of the people that had their hands raised up today. Lord, that you're going to continue to move upon them to live the life, not for me and not under legalism or anything like that, but to honor you, Lord, that you save them, that they will honor you by living a righteous and holy life. And I pray that over every hand that went up in the air this morning. I pray that the Holy Ghost brings solid conviction this week in the hearts in the lives of the people, Father, that we live as a church for you, Lord. That we glorify you, that we honor you in our life and everywhere we are as born-again Christians. That we quit thinking of ourselves so much and start thinking about the people around us that you want to reach with the gospel. And you want us to be that open book. You want our lives to be that Jesus walking down the street. You want our lives to be that Jesus in the grocery store. You want our lives to be that Jesus in the campground. You want us to be that Jesus on vacation that walks in the gas station and walking to things we shouldn't look at. You want us to be that Jesus that when we check into a motel by ourselves, that we not turn things on that we shouldn't be watching. That we can come before you without condemnation and receive that comforter, that hope, that joy, that peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Brother Bob, you want to come up here with me and pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for my brother and sister in Christ. Lord, I would pray over them right now, Father, that your Holy Spirit power would begin to move upon their hearts and lives and just do a work within them as you've been doing through the months, Lord, and the years, Lord. And let's just pray together as a family here. I'm going to pray this prayer out loud, and I want everybody to pray it with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I haven't been where I belong. And today, Jesus, I want to be truly born again. I want my life changed radically. And I ask right now for forgiveness of sin, of disobeying, of not living for you according to your word and to your words. And so today, Lord, I ask the Holy Ghost, move in to my spirit in my life right now in Jesus' name, and that the blood of Jesus cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I have a future hope to live with you because of Jesus. And I thank you for saving my soul and to be born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for every family here today. I pray, Lord, that you bless them, and I pray, Lord, that they get radical for you. I pray, Lord, that the living word, the book of Acts, become reality to each one of our lives this week, Father, that when we see opportunities, when we hear opportunities in our path, in our way, that we will open our mouths and live the life according to your word, and we will truly be the born-again Christians you called us to be, radical in the days we live, Father. We're going to be hated. We're going to be accused of things we didn't even do. And Lord, we're going to be spit on maybe, and maybe mocked. But Lord, with your help, with the anointing upon each life here, Father, give us the strength. Lord, bind us together in love as the body of Christ, that when we leave here today, Lord, that we leave here as an army, that we leave here as soldiers of the cross, for your glory, for your honor, Father, that preparation in our lives are being made for the soon coming of Jesus, that we will not stand ashamed when that trumpet sounds. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you, that, and I pray the blood of Jesus over every home and over every situation this day in Jesus' name. And we thank you. Let's all say praise the Lord. Let's all say praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, Father. I pray that, Lord, bless these people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And brothers, sisters, I got some tracks over there. Those tracks are awesome.